Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast audience. Stand by for a very provocative 60 minutes of talk radio from a urban pro-black perspective designed to educate and elevate your train of thought while making it funny. Good evening, everybody. This is Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio, and tonight we've got our feature show, The Attic, airing. I'm going to ask all my cast members, please be mindful of the noise in the background and try to keep it to a minimum. We are trying to go worldwide with our podcast. So, just to let you know what kind of mood I'm in tonight, it's very, very sunshine. The sun is always shining in Kenny Hodge's world. But let's get to our podcast cast. Let's try saying that fast. Let's get to our podcast cast. Hey, baby sis, how are you doing today?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Can I just say, I really appreciated what you just did, bro. I liked that a lot. I really appreciated that. That was nice.
That's why we family,
intro.
See?
Your intro.
Hey, I'll bring this out. I'm gonna bring this out. You know what I said? You know you give me a little toy to tink around with. Eventually, it's gonna get better and better. But I appreciate that. Hey, brother, yeah, messenger, where
you
at tonight?
I put into it, and I liked it.
I'm
here, bro. Getting ready to cut some grass.
Is that like a code, like cut the tall trees or some shit? wait a minute, man. Hold on. This is a different kind of podcast, man. And he said, I'm going to go cut some grass, man. You got to break that down to me, Brother Messenger.
I'll do that after the show, my brother.
Okay, we're going to go G15. We're right now, we're going G15 classified. Who else we got with us tonight, man? Who else we got online with us tonight?
Sister
Don't be
Purr.
Bashful. Hey, Sister Purr, how you doing today?
I'm doing.
You still celebrating your birthday, Sister Purr?
We're going past that. We're moving on.
Okay.
We're back to
Pearl.
No sister celebration today. We're back to
Pearl.
Okay.
Hey, baby boy, you with us tonight?
Why, yes, I am.
All right. We cool because I had seen some helicopters circling over a resident. I just want to make sure my baby brother was all right.
Hey. It might not have been for your baby brother. It could have been for your oldest brother. Let's just get that shit straight.
He said, before we go too far. Uh-oh. And watch this. Just before. Look, I was just concerned. That's all. I was just concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but
you said helicopters.
But watch this. I thought maybe you were going to take the helicopter over to the Clearport to get on your G5, my brother.
Oh, see,
don't let society fool you into thinking some other, my brother.
I got you.
Hey, well, listen. Let's go so far south before we fall off the water. Hey, Sister Sunshine, how you doing today?
Fine, thank you. How's everybody?
Okay, everybody.
Good, how are you?
Hey, that's cool. Look, back, we got a full cast. Hey, but listen, A lot of interesting and, as always, thought-provoking things are taking place surrounding our political system. But before we go too deep into that, with everybody know what an outstanding financial and social position the United States is in these days. So rather than 45 trying to focus on some of those issues, right now he was kind of entering in a Twitter war with LeBron James. Now, come on, man. And first of all, like I said, I'm sorry. I would vote for LeBron James as president over our current situation. But that being said, how you going to knock that man after he takes his money and he does what governments should be doing? I don't know if El Presidente was a little embarrassed that somebody is doing what our government should be doing, but that was pretty rough, the way he came at LeBron and Don Lemon. And now, let me say this before I start, because LeBron, I mean, again, not only is he just an outstanding basketball player, now, let me say this, and then I do mean it. I don't know him personally. Okay, so it ain't like me and Bron hang out. But for what I read about him and what I know about him, he seemed to be a generally pretty good guy, man. I'm sorry. So when he builds his school and does something that positive for the community, for the president to lash out at him, I think that was crazy. But on the other side of the coin, I do say to my brother LeBron, he is the president. And if it was true that you said he's dumb or stupid, I mean, we all have our opinions on what we say. And I ain't even trying to say you wrong, bro. But maybe sometime we could probably pick a better word when we dealing with that level of bureaucracy, for lack of a better phrase. So what's your feelings on Trump trying to get in LeBron case and calling? The reporter's name is Don Lemon. And during the week, we doing our production meeting, I kept calling him Don Lemon. Which I thought was very funny because they thought I was trying to be proper. But anyway, what's your feelings on how the president is attacking LeBron and Don Lemon? Somebody talk to me.
Well, to me, I think he likes to use this low IQ slur that he does, and that's just to those who like to have long believed that, you know, black people are, in particular, that is, that are just, mm-hmm. like we're less intelligent. You know, that's what that's all about. It's the usual. It's racist.
And you know, again, everything is just coming down to, you know, it used to be that undercover, that latent racism, but everything is just like, boom, in your face, deal with it. And when they say deal with it, we can't deal with it because they got all the rules and regulations tied up. But again, that under the cover type shady racism, like we did a show a couple of weeks ago on shades of racism, it's just now like it's in your face and deal with it. And while I'm telling you to deal with it, I'm also telling you you can't deal with it because I got everything covered.
Well, I'd like to say, with regards to LeBron, you get respect as you give respect. And unfortunately, 45 ain't giving nobody respect. I think he was pretty professional in his disrespect of 45.
Yeah.
So I have to agree with him. Just because he's 45, he got there with some trickery and some underhanded stuff. So I understand your sentiments as far as giving the president
well, I'll let you know what people thought about that comment. And I agree as well. But you know, I just think that again, our
that's that
president,
military in you, bro.
That's what that was.
Yeah. That's
all. Huh? Oh, well, you know, but listen, It's just that respect factor, but again, in no point, fashion, time, or anything else that I'm saying, am I saying LeBron James wasn't 100% correct in his in what he said and how he's handling it now? Again, now you can
we can get into verbal or syntax type disagreements with people, but I don't want to battle with the president on that, man. I'm just saying that's just one fight. I don't want to mess with, man. You can put the whole nation.
I do understand what you mean by that, but let's look. I mean, he's just president in title only, bro. And they're doing everything they can to keep him there. But you got to understand, he just don't belong there. I'll give you another example. There's some people in the post office and the unions and stuff that don't belong there.
Hey, hold on. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. And in case anybody can't hear that, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But you know what, though? But now, I got to say this. If, and again, I have to take the words of my baby brother. I ain't a 45 supporter, but I got to say this. I'm a supporter of a process, even though the process sucked. Don't get me wrong, okay? But if they elected him, they elected him. However, watch this. However, that came to be. That's all I'm saying. But now that he's here, I don't say you got to leave. It's what I really want. You don't get me wrong. But the process is you got to have people that put you in check and balance, man. You just can't be doing all this stuff that you're doing with nobody checking and balancing you because they appear to be scared of you. So, again, that might have sounded a real dichotomous. As I was saying, I'm not a supporter, but I am a supporter of the process. Even though I acknowledge that the process itself sucks, man. But that's all we have until we get better.
Yeah, and I respect that what you're saying, and I do understand that even if it was someone else, but this particular person and the things that he do, say, and act does not fit the office of that. And then when you tie in everything else, technically, and I do understand what you mean, but technically, he has no respect because he shows no respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're looking at that office, but he don't even carry that office himself with respect. So if he's not respecting it, why are we all of a sudden should show him such respect? Even when we know he got it the wrong way, he's using it the wrong way. Everything that he is doing is wrong. And the ones that are supposed to keep him in check, they're afraid of him. So somebody got to speak out.
Well, I'm going to go on record. I'm sorry. I want to go on record as saying with 8 seconds left of the game and the game is on the line, I'm going to LeBron James.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm going to get a ball to LeBron every time, man.
45 said Mike.
Well, see, again, that's that whole divide and conquer shit again. First of all, at least if you're going to get into the GOAT conversation, at least be somewhat a fan of the game. That's all I'm saying. And again, I can't believe that he is or was, and nothing about him tells me that. But if you're going to get into the conversation of who the best, at least be somewhat of a fan. He just threw that mic out there. But then you – excuse me one second. But you see what Mike did, right? Nobody?
I saw his comment. He could have said more.
But
way
again,
more.
I agree. He could have said what – yeah, I agree. He could have.
And you got to remember now. And again, we laugh and joke about Michael Jordan, but you know I'm going, so I'm going to go there. But when you make money from investing in prisons, that means you are interwoven into a different fabric of the nation. And I can't speak my true mind if I want to stay there. See, look, like I said, with LeBron, it ain't like he investing in anything but the future of America. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that the money that he put out for that school in some shape, form, or fashion is coming back to him 20,000-fold. But the initial layout is him and business partners trying to do something for society is what I see. And I might add, yeah, while I'm on the LeBron James bandwagon, and anybody who listens to the show know, it don't take a whole lot to get me there.
what I might say is it's not a black school. It's in a black community. It's in a black, but it's not a black school. That school isn't posted as LeBron James School for the Black. If you live in that area and the qualifications are met, you can go to that school. And again, that just goes to show the true nature, and I really mean to say this, the true nature of the black man. That goes to show the true nature. It ain't most of the time, and I can't say all the time because nothing is absolute. We're not about that get even, get back shit all the time, man. So, America, understand, ease up. Ease up, and shit will be all right, man.
Hey, but as we talk about easing up, well, excuse me one second while I gather myself. While we talk about easing up, did the black minister out of Seattle, Washington, did he lose his mind, y'all?
I'm just saying, is there such a thing as I don't pray so much I'm crazy? I mean, is there such a thing? I just got to play
from,
this. Yeah, he's out of
from
Seattle,
Detroit,
right?
I thought he was from Detroit.
Oh, he was from Detroit, Brother Cook? Hold on one second. I got to cue this up for you. And maybe it was two different meetings, but I want to play a little excerpt. It's about a minute and a half. Bear with me.
Throughout our history, America's churches and religious leaders have called for change and have inspired us to care for and bring hope back to those in need. So many people in need. These are the people that they do a job, and it's really largely unrecognized, which is something they don't even care about, frankly. They just want to take care of people. This tax incentive will bring badly needed investment into distressed communities, communities with high unemployment, communities where it's really tough and tough to get a job. And already we're seeing what's happening. We're seeing the benefits. Our focus on opportunity for every citizen includes helping former prisoners. These citizens reentering society have had a tough time. We want them to get jobs so they don't have to return to a life of crime and go back in to the same prison where they just got out.
To be honest, this is probably going to be the, and I'm saying this at this table, the most pro-black president that we've had in our lifetime. Because, and I try to, you know, analyze the people that I encounter. This president actually wants to prove something to our community, our faith-based community, and our ethnic community. The last president didn't feel like he had to. He felt like he didn't have to prove. He got a pass. This president, this administration is probably going to be more proactive regarding urban revitalization and prison reform than any president in your lifetime. If we work together, give him a chance. Don't pay any attention to these guys back here. And I promise you, we will do something. This administration will continue to make history. It's going to be a lot of positive change. Great things are on the horizon. I promise.
Now I gotta break right back in and start off with, you see, if you look hard enough, you can find a nigga to say whatever it is you need said. You can find that guy. Here is a pastor sitting out here, I think they were in Detroit, and going to make that statement that this is the best it's been. And what he did was, it is a tip to pat Trump on the back. He attempted to kick Barack in his ass. Now, come on, folks. Where we at right now as a people?
Hey, well, this is the messenger, and I'm going to say regarding that is the same thing as he says on Sunday, and it's all bullshit.
No, but you know what, though? And I agree with you 100,000%. And, put a dollar in the cuss jar. But I agree with you 120%. But you actually have black pastors. Now, let me tell you something. Anybody who's aware of any significant movement in black America's time, so whoever was leading it had Reverend somewhere in his name. Okay? He had Reverend somewhere in his name. So we are just naturally drawn to that that reverend type figure. That's what it really is. But I was trying not to say bullshit.
on the radio like that. but you know what, though? But when the pastors come out and they start saying that, let me tell you, pastors have congregations. Now, I got to tell you, if that excuse me, 1 second. Lord, hold my tongue. Excuse me. If that minister believes that and he has a congregation, then what he's going to do is just like when he take a break from convincing and believing that other stories he want to tell, he going to spend some time getting you to believe this also.
Exactly.
And if I can get you to believe that, I can get you to believe this. So now, here we go. Let's divide and conquer from within. That was crazy that minister made that statement in that manner. I was proud about it.
Yeah, if I can get you to believe that God just set a whole city on fire and turned a woman to stone because she looked back, I can get you to believe that Trump is for us.
Give me a minute.
See, this is how versatile women. This is how versatile the podcast from Hearts to Hearts vary. Everybody here is not a sole member of the messenger. So, only reason why I said that is Brother Messenger was about to make that hard right turn, and we was about to turn Wednesday night into Thursday night, and we wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready. But again, but we pride our black ministers, and again, and I'm not gonna call all of them crooked. Let's just say most, all of them. But we pride our ministers, and when we have black ministers taking that kind of a position, I would have to ask him, brother, did things just get better for you? Because let me tell you something. And again, if 45 is the true 45 that we know, and y'all elected. Because that minister stepped up and supported him so openly in the black community, that now means every time you see Trump go on a campaign, that brother going to be with him. Now, again, so that brother going to be with him and that brother going to get paid. So, bro, are you financing your own good or are you attempting to speak for the people? Because if the people you represent really believe that bullshit that you put out on that that interview, then I feel sorry for you and your folks.
He was on Tom Joyner on Tuesday trying to explain his conversation.
What did he have to say?
I think it was Monday or Tuesday because Roland Martin was interviewing him. He was saying that he said when his statement, he said proactive. He believed the other presidents, including, Lyndon all the way up, were reactive to the situation. He's proactive. That's the only thing he was saying, that he's proactive in his stance towards the black community.
That's only because they was getting in his butt.
Watch this.
Technically, Jeff Sessions is locking people up left and right. Not
yeah, that's what Roland was saying. He said, because the pastor said that he personally gave Sessions prison reform, initiative, and, he's looking over it. And Roland was saying, that's not true. He's going against it. Why are you telling untruths? And he was like, well, I gave it to him. And he was like, but he's not doing anything with it.
Right.
You can give him some tissue, and he, wipes his butt. But after that, what else is happening?
Hey, but you know what? but since as a military trainer, let me show you the training effect real quick. Just play with me for a minute. First, Trump says Russia would... Why would Russia get involved in our election? Then he corrected. Then he said, why wouldn't they? Or whatever the hell that was, he said. Now listen to the black preachers reverse what he said. Tell me, ain't that just like they have been taught to do? Because that's just what the leader does. That's just what. That's what I'm saying is, again, you came back on the let me try to make this right because probably some of my members are leaving and Trump ain't paid me no money yet. So let me try to make this right. To hold on to these members until that check come in from the president. And then if a few of y'all want to leave, I'm still okay. But again, he just flipped that story around just like the leader does. and everybody seems to be all right with it. No, but I hope you don't get the same pass in the black community, or excuse me, in your congregation, whatever that might be, as the president got when he flipped on the Russia situation. I hope they walk out on you. Unless
they're around every Sunday.
Say again?
No, they're going to be there on Sunday because that's their pastor.
Yeah, they're flipping the story around every Sunday, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's some old BS, too.
What I couldn't believe is the other ministers that sat around at that table, they listened to that nonsense, and nobody
checked recognizes
him.
Lie.
But you know, it's one thing that he was talking about all day long. I'm sorry.
What did you say?
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm saying it's one thing that he was sitting there talking it, you know. I mean, but everybody's supposed to be, you know, men of God, you know. And, I mean, you know, you have your people, your flock, your congregations that are looking up to you. You know, I mean, at some point you have to stand for something, regardless to whatever this is, this nonsense that Trump is doing. At the end of the day, you are men of God, period, point blank. Or supposed
allegedly.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
allegedly. This is what you proclaim to be. This is what you proclaim to be. And so you're sitting around at this table. You're sitting around at this table. You're listening to this man talk this nonsense. Okay? And I know your people, your congregation, you know, is watching this. Has nobody have any shame?
But
nobody had any shame or felt they needed to check him or say something to him?
We're all lying on Sunday, so he just lied on Tuesday.
It was just crazy to me. I'm like, you know, so I couldn't even continue to be a member of that church at that point. Seriously, I couldn't. I couldn't
that church
if I were, you know, if my pastor sat at that table and didn't
check.
Yeah, I couldn't. And that's another thing he was saying.
I could not.
Go ahead.
Right, so
that's another thing he was saying.
I could not.
So when your pastor tells you this other great lies, that's all right? But just because
my thing is just this. If you're preaching to me about standing up for what's right and doing the right thing, and I'm watching you just blatantly sitting there and not checking this man, I don't care who it is, Trump or whatever, it was lies. Point blank, period. It was lies.
Right.
And nobody checked.
That lie is bigger than the lie that they told yesterday. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just speaking on this.
I know, babe.
This particular,
I understand. I'm,
you know,
just
I'm
on
speaking
this.
On,
I'm
this.
Just on this.
You're going in another. I'm just speaking on this particular topic right here.
I'm sorry. Sunshine, go ahead and get in this, Sunshine.
I just want to know why we continue to be the only people who still need somebody to lead us. I just never understood that. At this day and age, we still need somebody to rise up and you know, take us to where we're supposed to be instead of finding a way to do that for ourselves.
That's right. Hello. Sound like she's been listening to something really good. You
the
go,
messenger.
Girl.
The messenger.
Right.
Go,
girl.
Hey,
right. We don't need
but
nobody.
You know what, though? But you know what? And that's 100% correct.
That's right.
That's 100% correct. And again, when are we going to do that? I mean, again, I trust me. Trust me. If I could be that person to stand up and champion this fight, I mean, based on what I've seen, I think my skill sets would be adequate. But I'd say like Colin Powell said, while I was in the military, I did some things and been some places that I really don't need nobody investigating to remind me of. So, but if I could, I would love to champion that cause, man. Because, again, based on the example that I see right now, how can I go bad? How can I do wrong? The only difference would be, watch this, neither one of us actually know how to govern a nation, but I think I would just be a little more easier to listen to people guide me. That would be our difference. I wouldn't come out there talking about, nah, I got this. Like, Mr. President, this is a foreign policy. Yeah, all right. So I got this anyway, not even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, don't know how we ended up there. Here we go, moving right along. You know what happened? I was trying to segue off of the black ministers because I wanted to go into a segue and just remind folks that even though I didn't have time to
to or have the knowledge to educate all my uncles and my father. They were all ministers also. So I don't want to just leave with a little snippet of ministers showing how they're not ministers. So just bear with me for another little clip on black pastors and Trump. One more time, please.
Promised 100 black pastors, but only about 50 showed up to Trump Tower for the meeting, and it went long.
The meeting was 2.5 hours.
That's Victor Cousins, a pastor who came from Ohio for the meeting. Cousins said it was pretty good.
He seemed to be in a good mood. The mood in the room overall was very positive. No one was angry or upset or anything of that nature.
A poster for the event had listed the names of black pastors who planned to publicly endorse Trump today. But over the last few days, several pastors named in the announcement said they never promised him an endorsement. They just wanted to talk about a lot of Trump's rhetoric on race. Victor Cousins says those who did show up today asked Trump how he planned to deal with things like black unemployment, the Black Lives Matter movement, and racial unrest in places like Baltimore and Ferguson, Missouri. Cousins says Trump listened, but there was one thing he did not do.
He did not offer an apology in our presence.
And in a press conference after the event, Trump also seemed unapologetic about the tone of his campaign.
The tone has taken me to first position in every single poll, including state and including national polls.
He went on to say he would address the issues raised in the meeting. Pastor Corletta Vaughn was invited to the meeting, but she declined. She says she would meet with Trump under a few conditions.
I would sit down with Trump on my terms, maybe possibly in a black church, where we can see how comfortable he is in our space.
Trump has not yet indicated if any meeting of that sort will take place. Sam Sanders, NPR News.
Well, I just wanted to back that up on behalf of the ministers in my family, because I didn't have time to show them this new way before they passed on and began their next life. So I just was trying to point out that all the black ministers aren't on board with my man in out of Detroit. So as you can see, there were other meetings where some of them just declined to meet with him. So again, he's not buffaloing all the black ministers, but if he buffaloed one, that's one too many. So that was my point of trying to bring that clip back to show that there are some black folks in that realm of what they call, I can't even say it without laughing, organized religion, trying to do something. But you know what, though? But what can we do? I understand that, you know, Trump is trying to divide the community even more by tapping into the pastoral resources, because it's just history shows that that's where black folk, we're going to get our leadership from. We're going to the church. But we need to go to the polls, and we need to vote and start understanding. And this is going to sound crazy. While your vote really don't mean all it's supposed to mean, we could make it mean a little bit more. That's all I'm really trying to say, because if you really believe that your vote makes an actual difference, then you need to really wake up. But while we do have the freedom to vote, let me tell you something. We have to get out there and we have to start voting. Now, I happen to be residing in Ohio. Now, Ohio is usually always a red state. Well, they just had a vote in here yesterday where it's so close that right now they still haven't called the winner. We talked about that on yesterday. And again, whereas I thought that the fact that even if the Democrat appears, again, look like it's a tight race, and I hope he wins, but looks like he probably going to lose by a point or two. But he's coming right back in November. But more importantly, the message went out. And let me show you how mixed messages can be received. On one hand, Ohio's always been heavy red state, red flag waving. So the Democrat was so close that the nation, well, Ohio is pretty sure that in November Ohio's going to go blue. Now, Donald Trump, and again, call it how you see it. Donald Trump was in Ohio messing up traffic patterns and all that stuff yesterday while he campaigned for the Republican who won. So you know where his mindset is right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that if he had not come here, and again, I guess you really can't say he's wrong, he hadn't come here and campaigned that the Republicans would not have been victorious. And like he said, this is just the beginning of all the Republicans coming back home to him. So, talk to me, Messenger, because I know you follow this shit.
Him coming out to Ohio did have an effect because it stirred up the racist folks. They thought that they could kind of sit this one out. And if they had a sat it out, then they would have lost. So him coming, it did have an effect. But in November, it's not going to, because November is going to be like a – this was a special election. They caught some people off guard.
Yes.
But, and they still had a great turnout. But in November, it's going to change. I think the people are truly waking up. And, you know, we still don't have enough to just totally take over, but we've got enough now so that we can be noticed. And I think there's going to be a lot of changes going on, as long as we don't go back to sleep. Because, you know, you put an extra dollar in our pocket, and we have a tendency to not pay things any attention. But as long as we don't go back to sleep, we're going to make a difference.
So you think that Democrats coming that close in that vote yesterday sent a positive or negative message to Trump?
A negative message. He going to try and spin it as positive, negative message. This guy that won last night, supposedly, if he is the winner, he's only going to be the governor for 2 months.
Yes.
And then they got to do an election, then a real election. So he only got it for 2 months. And if he just barely won, then imagine when it's everybody's looking forward to doing it. And you get 2 more months of Donald Trump being Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is saying, because I am who I am. Excuse me. And also in that clip that I played, did you notice at the end when they talked about the tone of his campaign, what he said? He said, this is what he said. This is what the people want. This is what the nation wants. And let me tell you, if we don't get our ass out to that poll and vote otherwise, then I have to believe this is what we want. Excuse me, this is what y'all want, because trust and believe, I don't want none of that shit, man. I don't. I could do without it.
And he never apologized. He didn't apologize either, correct?
No, apologizing ain't something he do. He don't.
No.
That ain't high on his list of shit to do. Yeah, that ain't. He'll let you know. I guess he must have been told apologizing is a sign of weakness, but he apologizing ain't something he'll do. Yeah. Hey, but you know, again, Ohio came real close to being blue. I want everybody to get out and make sure you cast your vote. Again, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem, because if we don't become part of the problem, we don't become part of the solution, then we're aiding the problem. And again, let's sometimes we got to stop talking about it and be about it. You know, mm-hmm. We can get on here and podcast and talk about it all day long, but maybe... And I'm talking to myself right now. Maybe I might try to get more active in the voter registration drive coming up for the big election, or do something a little different or a little extra to get people to understand it's crunch time. It's crunch time right now, because right now I've always said when it comes to this administration, it's like we're on a 24/7, 365. We're at like circus. There's always carnival acts going on. There's always somebody over in the corner sticking a sword down their throat while you got the man over here smacking an elephant, making him stand up and raise both feet off the ground, while you got a district attorney trying to rewrite the Constitution.
Hey, you hear what I said? One thing I've always remembered Baby Sis always saying is, don't talk about it, be about it.
Yeah. Don't talk about it, be about it. But you got all this stuff going on right now. And let me tell you something. It is like a three-ring circus. We are so busy watching the abracadabra that every time we're missing a real magic trick, y'all.
That's because there's so many magic tricks going on, my brother. We keep it real. It's just so much stuff going on. It's hard to keep up with what him and his crew is doing. Because they, you know, it seems like an abracadabra trick, but they just got a lot of shit going on that's ridiculous. You can't keep up with it. Because if you're looking at some stuff over there, trust me, it's a whole bunch of stuff going on over there, too. And they all just the same. There's just a whole lot of dirty undercover stuff going on. And we can't keep up with it.
And again, that's what makes the magic trick so beautiful. That's what every musician wants to make sure. I got to dazzle you enough, because if you can keep up with it, then you can pinpoint some things. But what I'm really saying is, while we're talking about 45 and the Russia collusion, his lawyer, Sessions. Do you know that who was the Koch brothers? Anybody ever heard of that family? Heard of them? The Koch brothers?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They've been supporting the Republicans for the last 50 years.
Well, I said, they tell me now again, and I have to say, most of my research came from an online source that I definitely appreciate, Bill Maher. They tell me that while we're and wrapped up in Russia collusion and all this stuff, you know, they're trying to get together to rewrite the Constitution.
Yes, they are.
Watch this. And I got to say this, and then I'm going to back off and I'm going to listen to other people's comments. If I can change the Constitution, then it is worth it for this country to. Now, once again, I'm talking from that pro-white. Don't make no God, excuse me, that pro-white don't make a whole lot of sense to me perspective. If I could change the Constitution, I'll let this country get this ass up for a few years, because I got the original blueprint now to put it back together the way I meant to do it before they started with all that anti-slavery shit. That's what's at hand, folks.
That's just one of the things at hand, bro. That's a major thing.
That's the foundation, though. If I change the Constitution that you ain't got no rights, I can do this, I can do that to you. And again, I don't really know all the things that they're trying to change, but from what I heard, none of that shit going to benefit anybody of color.
Exactly.
Well, that we know, but I'm just saying that, that's one of them. But like that's what I was saying. There's just so much stuff that they're trying to do, and because 45 is so screwed up, that you just can't keep up. It's easy for people to slip in because you got 55 things in front of you that they doing wrong, and anybody in the back can slide around and do a lot of stuff. It's just, this is just how messed up stuff is. So if you take your eye off of 45 and start looking at the Koch brothers, 45 tearing up stuff. You put your eyes on 45, Congress tearing up stuff. It's just everything is all witchy-watchy, and we are stuck in the middle, and that's why we have to band together regardless of race, creed, or color, and bring some accountability, some kind of structure back to America, because honestly, we're losing it. And, you know, we look at these other countries and see the chaos, the chaos and stuff that they're in, and we look at them and we feel pity for them. But if we're not careful, I'm sorry, I said chaos. If we're not careful, we're going to be in that same predicament. We don't think so because America's so great, but they tearing this country up step by step.
And what can we do to stop it? And that's
November.
The real question.
November
what can we do
is the start.
Again, we have to get out. And again, I think that we're going to start maybe one show a month on the attic where we just dedicate that shit to like voter registration, voter campaign, or voter some shit. It don't matter what it is, as long as it start with voter, okay? Voter car wash, you know, voter donate some money to my podcast. I mean, whatever. We're going to have some voter shit going on too.
He slid that one in.
Yeah, see, my whole cast didn't even catch that. But yeah, but really, I want us, you know, as a crew. Wow, I know. We're a crew, man. Want us as a crew to get together and let's do something to try to encourage or enhance people to get out and vote. Again,
hey, what do you recommend we do, baby boy?
Come on, you know the revolution, please.
By the way, big boy, Sister Purr told me to tell you, the last podcast you said the revolution was starting that next day at 1 o'clock, and you gave
one
her location.
O'clock.
Well, believe it or not, I'm sitting there and I'm hearing y'all talking, and I'm thinking nobody showed up to the revolution.
She told me to tell you.
It was that following
Thursday.
That's mm-hmm.
All way in Washington.
She said she was there. She had her boots on. She had, you know, she was ready.
Sister,
she said you ain't show up. Sister Purr.
Who's that?
Sister Celebration.
Oh.
I'm talking about
the revolution, and ain't nobody want to do it. Y'all still talking about marching and voting, and come on. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of like starting all over again. We way beyond that. It's time for the revolution. Lock and load. Take out the target.
But you know what, though, brother? Let me tell you something.
Excuse me.
I hope it don't have to get to that. As there's going to be a major revolution. It don't have to be of weapons, though. Because, again, we going to lose that man.
They got us on that.
The only thing about that, though, that stops that from being real is they understand that their casualty rate is going to be high, too. But, yeah, we're going to definitely come out on the short end of that. So let's go have my man say, hey, man, as a people, can we talk this out?
Let's go intellectually on this one.
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
Once again, that time is over with. Now I need somebody to be that Christmas, what's his name, Attic?
Nate
Turner? Was it Nate?
No,
Christmas Attic.
Well, if you want Christmas Attic, that means somebody going to throw some tea in the river. What are we talking about?
No, that means somebody going to take that bullet. Have you ever seen Glory when the white man
crazy,
dropped the flag and Denzel picked it up?
Took it behind
and yelled, y'all come on. And they all follow him. That's what I need. Let's put it off.
Okay.
Lock it off.
You need somebody to lead the way. You won't be doing it.
There you go.
I was just getting ready to say, you know what? I'm serious. I would be there, but I got an appointment that day. I got some things I got to do that day. But just notice, as
your general, I'm going to be in the back directing shit.
All right. Wait a minute now. See how I got more military time. How about if I be in the back?
Put this together.
I'll be up front. I'll be a soldier on the war front.
Hey, I'm a sailor. I'm going to be in the water waiting.
When America starts a war or get into a war, and you join the service, you don't start at the top calling the shot. They got people for that already. We need generals and, you know, sergeants and colonels.
So you said all the general spots.
So
in your army, all the general spots are filled already?
No, just the president. That's me.
He said, and just understand the president, and that's all the vote we need. Hey, but you know what, though?
Don't worry, just like Trump, I'm gonna give y'all some good positions.
I hear you. Hey, but you know, it's so funny. We toyed with a title for the show. Remember we played with Uncle Tom's Cabinet, and I kept saying Cabinet, and you said Uncle Tom's Cabin. I must have heard Uncle Tom's Cabin, that book, on at least 3 or 4 different shows on TV today. So I hate that I didn't pick that name. We could have rode that wave a little bit. Everybody remember Uncle Tom's Cabin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that was one of the books that they made us read in school.
Yeah, school. So
they began to institutionalize us, let us know that it was our fault. Hey, all right. Well, man, nobody found that funny but me. Hold on.
No, that's all right, bro.
Hold on.
Go ahead and enjoy that.
Hold on.
I'm laughing on the inside.
All right, I'm gonna get my laugh, man. Oh, but say, hey, like I said, we talked a little bit about Trump and LeBron, and Trump need to go somewhere and leave that alone, man. Again, you getting involved in Twitter wars with athletes, man, come on, dude. And you got to understand, he don't really give a damn, and he got to let that be known about the millionaire black athletes, man. He don't hide that when he talk about the NFL and the rest of that shit. Like, these folks should be lucky. You know, so he ain't really on the side of that black man making that kind of money through athletes anyway. It's from what I gather.
Hey, I hate this. Can I switch on you for 1 second, my brother?
Go for it, man.
Can somebody tell me, because one of the things we recommend is that you support blacks in what they're doing. How come we can't step up and be worthy of our black people's business and stuff?
How come?
Yeah.
It's Wednesday night, right? Wednesday night? How come? Because let me tell you, again, here's some of the stereotypes. And when I say stereotypes, I mean, a lot of this shit I find to be true. I'm talking as a black man to a black business owner. You should not go into a black business and feel like you're in a black business. Now, what I mean by that is...
What does
that
mean?
I'm going to explain that right now. You go in there, you're in a restaurant where you got broken chairs. Service is just horrible. That's what I mean. I don't mean not the culture.
So we're the only ones that have broken chairs or horrible service?
No. I'm saying... As black people, in order to, again, for us to help us support each other, come on, let's step up what we do. Oh, no, not at all. But you
I
know what,
I don't mind
though?
The broken chairs. I just hate the shitty service.
But you know what, though? And I say that, again, because I'm 100% pro-black support, black businesses. But what I mean is, if you increase, if you're fighting, as a black business owner is fighting for black and white dollars, okay? You're fighting to keep your black dollars in your neighborhood, but we have been so accustomed to spending elsewhere. So, again, you have to do a little bit more, as with the business, to draw those customers back to you. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Now, what
you're really saying is for the black man not to fulfill this stereotype that they have cast on us. By making them think that a black-owned restaurant ain't no good, and this is what we do. We don't improve ourselves to be make ourselves worthy, because white people think if you go to a black restaurant, the chairs are broke. And then as soon as you go into a black restaurant, what do you got? Broken chairs.
The messenger.
All right, so that's all that's what he was really
saying. That's what I was trying to say. And I appreciate
fulfill the stereotype that they have cast on us. Let's lift our game and be even better. Not so much as compared to the white person, but just be better. All you got to do is smile. You go to a black restaurant and it's almost, you know, at least it's white
saying,
people.
That's
just mess up.
It's part of the ambiance. I need a little attitude sometimes. Like,
oh, now watch this.
But you can go in a white restaurant and get attitude also.
And get attitude too.
Let's be real about that. They can get attitude also.
What restaurant you went into with Keisha had an attitude?
No, but listen, and you know what, Sister Sunshine? And Baby Sus, you're right.
Sometimes
when I come home, I want to go to that restaurant where I feel like I am where I am, and whatever that means to whoever listening, I want to feel like I am exactly where I am. And what I mean, when I'm on Governor Street, I feel a little different than I feel if I'm on East 40th Street. I'm just saying. Feel me, okay? But you know what? Just speaking of restaurants and that kind of thing, but when I come to Jersey, I don't care where I am or who I'm with. If I come to Patterson, and I haven't been there in so long, I'm going on Governor Street and get me a fish sandwich, man. I don't care where I am, because they cook that fish like Nuchus is supposed to cook fish. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and that's it. That's one of the things. And you want to support it. And another example, okay, they cook that fish. Now, how long they been cooking that fish?
Long time.
I don't know.
Long time,
well,
right?
Long. Now, if they're still there.
Yeah. However, it's not the same. I don't go on Governor Street for fish anymore.
I was just
going
to say, you might not want to go on there
no
the more.
Same.
Hey, but what's this?
You might
it's
not want
to
go on there no more,
no,
bro. You
no,
might not want to. You might
it's
not want
to. It's always been a spot not to go. It's always been a spot not to go.
Right.
You
it's
might
no
not want to.
Yeah, it's fish or...
Okay, I mean, I don't live there no more, but you might not want to.
Anytime you want to go.
It's not the same, or the people cooking the fish isn't the same.
The people, it's a still fear of the same family, I believe, but the fish is not the same.
Okay, all right.
And again,
see,
I don't know. I haven't had one. I haven't had one in a long time.
But the point the real point that I was making on that is, how long have they been there?
I'm not bullying now. Nurse Carmen, am I acting bullying now? Have I changed?
No.
I'm still down, right?
Hey, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Sometimes when I go, I always take, you know, I have my guys with me, Smith and Wesson. I mean, you know, I keep friends with me when I go down there because I know.
Lord.
let me just stick my point real quick.
You need a stick hour?
Can I get my point real quick? My point was, as long as we've been going there, at least 20 years. Is that safe to say they've been there at least 20 years?
More than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than that.
Can anybody say any difference in that place from the first day that we went there till now?
Nope.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Well,
watch this, though.
You know what, man? Let me tell you something, all right? And this is for real. If I went there and they changed, and they got all snooty, I probably wouldn't like it no more. I like that because that's what that is. I mean, I don't know how to put that in your way.
Look, because that special, they look, they ain't got that special sauce no more. You'd be like,
what
happened?
That's what I'm saying. Because if you constantly got to be snooty,
how about I want my hot fish sandwich and I want to sit down and eat it right now? How about something simple like that? Just a cheer and a table.
You want Governor Street?
But see, that's not that kind of restaurant. That's a restaurant for the hood.
That's what I'm saying.
They got Shadidi on you now. They got clean grease.
You ain't ready
for
it. They got clean grease and you ain't ready for it.
They're not recycling.
Yeah.
That money wanted to reinvest into the restaurant. He reinvested that in his house. See, he's spending that money at home. He ain't reinvesting that money into the business. He putting that into his house.
Okay.
Or his kids.
I am not trying to deprive him of that. I am not. I'm only saying that if you took a little time to invest in what it is that you have, then there's more money to put in your house and more money to put into your kids.
They don't have the traffic that, say, a big place has. Because we're too busy going somewhere else.
Right,
what was that restaurant in New York? Sylvia's? Didn't she stayed the same for years. Wasn't it Sylvia's? And I mean, she didn't expand for like years.
Right, but she, you know, she got
know what that means.
In the store. We don't know what that means. We going on. Make it another half an hour.
I see that. He said no. He acted just like Uncle Kai right now. So I gotta go Uncle Roy. And start unplugging these damn microphones.
Pull the plug out. Pull the plug out.
See, watch this. If you're family, you got that Southland reference. Hey, but we do. We gotta wake up, folks. We gotta wake up, man. And again, as the messenger, Elijah Muhammad would tell you, you gotta wake up. You gotta get up, and then we gotta move up. So again, let's each one teach one. Let's try through whatever means we can to try to spread or share some light on the political environment to our friends, our associates, And let's try to get everybody out there to vote, because if we don't exercise our right to vote, I'm telling you, it's going to be a long road, especially a road that we thought we don't have to travel anymore. We understand as black people that we've not moved as far forward as we should have or could have. But damn it, I ain't trying to go back down that shit no more, y'all.
Good night,
so,
John boy.
Yeah, we ain't got no time to say good night because of that long ass.
Good night. No, we got
good
time
night.
Right now.
Good night.
Say your good nights, man. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, good night everyone.
I'll be looking forward to
this.
Good night,
everybody. Good night.
And remember, if Kenny Hodge and Hodge the Hodge Radio is not on your podcast,
your podcast
isn't
on.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Bring that beat back.
We doing an after show?
No, man. We was just on here for an hour, man.
Well, let's do an after show.
All right, we'll go ahead, kid.
That's it, man.
Him downstairs wake now.
Watch this. If you want to do an after show, man, I'll queue up another show and we can get started at 12:30. You with it?
12:30? That's 29 minutes. No.
All right.
No.
Well, peace out. Keep going.